Welcome back to my love letter time machine. Hi, I'm Ingrid Birchall-Hughes, and I'm serialising the love letters of my great-great-grandparents, Fred Shepherd and Janie Warburton. Travel 140 years back in time with me now, where we take a look at Victorian history through their eyes. And today, we are in the final week before Fred's return to Sheffield for his and Janie's wedding. In the letters in the run-up to the wedding, we've been getting more and more details about preparations for Janie and Fred's new home. The sheer quantity of items that Janie is contributing to their married life has quite surprised me. It seems to be far more than one might expect contained within the traditional bottom drawer. The term bottom drawer in the UK is similar in concept to what folk in North America would call a hope chest, as in the custom of a bride-to-be painstakingly making and saving the linen she would need in her married life. And I think it is a rather underrated piece of women's history and might actually be considered as a now largely vanished rite of passage. We also have the word trousseau, borrowed from the French, to describe the gradual manufacture and acquisition of lingerie and linen that a woman would be expected to have as a bride. Janie has indeed been making a fair amount of her own undergarments. She's mentioned using her sewing machine to make combinations a few times now. These were an all-in-one camisole, bodice and drawers combined in one garment. The drawers, as was the custom, were bifurcated for hygiene reasons, and the whole ensemble was worn under the corset. Combinations eliminated the bulk and discomfort of two waistbands of the previously separate garments. They seem to have first appeared in the 1870s, and by the 1880s had become very popular on both sides of the Atlantic. Mind you, Janie hasn't just been collecting linens. She's also curated things as diverse as egg whisks, laundry baskets, bits of furniture, glasses, a dining service, a tea set, cutlery, and a host of other items that she and Fred will need to practically manage a home. The monetary value is not insignificant and looks to occupy a space adjacent to some kind of dowry. You might remember Fred even reported that Janie's father, James, had made some reference to finances after he'd been asked for Janie's hand in marriage, and that Fred had said all he wanted was Janie. Dowry practices were still common in Victorian Britain among the richer classes, so it's interesting to see that Janie's family feel like they are in this liminal space between working and middle class, even in this situation. Janie's personal status seems to be gradually shifting in the minds of the family in her last week before the wedding. She's been given time off her barmaid duties for sewing and errands, and more leisure time to catch up with friends, as she mentions here in her next. Handsworth, October the 2nd, 1882. My own darling husband, I received your welcome letter this morning, for which I thank you. They say they can manage without my help tonight at the club supper, love. Mother says I can go if I like to your mother's birthday party. I have set the table and done everything as far as I can, so I am going when I finish my letter to you, love. I will give you a longer one tomorrow, as I do not want to be late. I will write your letters for you, love, when we are married. I know you have not much time to write home when you send so many to me. Not one too many, though, love. I think when I am your wife, darling, I will try to write one a fortnight, at least to your mother, because she thinks such a lot about having one from you. I do remember the first time we went to Treton Feast, and what a glorious walk home we had, love. I made the short curtains on Saturday, and a pair of long ones for the back room, and mother has bought me two beautiful pairs of long ones for the front room and front bedroom. I do not mind Venetian blinds being common, love. They are very nice, but as they are not in the house, I think the striped ones I have ordered will look very well. I don't think Ted is vexed, love. You could not ask them all to be your best man, but I enclose Miss Dalton's letter to see if you think he is. I wish you could be at your house, love, this afternoon. It will be the first party you have missed. I shall miss you, darling, more than anywhere, because we used to have such nice walks home. I have not got the cards yet. I hope you have not taken cold, my darling, with playing in the rain, and that the stiffness has gone off. I remain, my darling husband, your loving, true, and faithful wife, Janie. Albert Terrace, Linthorpe Road, Middlesbrough, October 3rd, 1882. My own darling wife, I received your welcome letter this morning, for which I thank you. I was very pleased to hear that they could manage without you, darling, for I am sure they would want you at our house, especially as I was not there. You would be the next best substitute, being nearest and dearest to me, love. You must tell me how you went on, and how everybody was. I am glad to hear that you will write my letters for me, love. I am sure I will let you gladly, and then they will perhaps get them more regularly than they have done so far. I am afraid that I have neglected all my correspondence except to you, love. I think with you, love, that the striped blinds will look very nice. We may get Venetian after a time, though there is this disadvantage, that when you leave the house and the next tenant will not take them, they might not fit the next house and so be useless. I received Miss Dalton's letter, and I think she was not offended, but unable to come. I also received one from Ted this morning, in which he says that he cannot come because Sally cannot get off, but a little further on he says that he will be at the church to see us married. I wonder why it is that people take a delight in gaping and staring at weddings. I am sure it is no business of the majority of the people, and cannot therefore concern them. I am sure I shall not enjoy being gazed at. I wish I could have been there to take you home last night, love, but I shall very soon bring you home and stay there with you. I got a proof of the card from P. and Bro yesterday, which I enclose to you. I have told them to keep them quite as neat, but if possible, to print the writing just a trifle larger, so that they will not present the crushed-in appearance as they do at present. Do you like the style, love? I do not think I have taken cold with getting wet last Saturday, love. The stiffness has nearly all gone. I think I shall play next Saturday with Attercliffe, and then it will depend on you, my darling, how much I play afterwards. I went down to our house today, love. The gas meter is fixed, and it is finished painting and papering. The front room is very nice. The others I am not so well satisfied with. The bedroom papers looked so different from what they did in the small piece. But I hope you will forgive me if I have chosen wrongly. The next time we paper, you shall choose them for yourself. I also went to Mrs. Gordon's, and was disappointed to learn that she had let the two front rooms last Saturday. Of course I told her that she had done the best thing for herself, and that I should have been sorry if she refused anybody for good, for the sake of taking us in for such a short time. She thinks that we shall be able to put up next door, and will inquire tomorrow. But we should not be able to have the front bedroom, love. Do you think you could put up with the back one for a week? What I want is to get somewhere near, so that you will not have far to go from one place to the other. I have also been inquiring from somebody to clean it down, but so far cannot hear of anyone. I have written to John Mies for the size of his gloves, but have not had a reply from him yet. I notice that the best train we can come back by will be the 5:15 from Sheffield, which gets here at 9:51. I am very much afraid, love, that we shall be rather pinched for money, as I don't think after paying all the preliminary expenses, we shall have above £33, unless I draw the 2 weeks' money, which will have been due to me on the 14th, and that will make 39. I think I'd better do that, love, and then we shall not run short just then. I am afraid there will be a lot of necessary things that we have not thought of, and will not find out until we begin to get settled down, love. But then that will leave us only £7 to carry us through the next month, and there will be £12.16 rent due at the end of November. Odd pecuniary troubles are coming in already, love. But of course, I can draw every week, if necessary, as I am entitled to it every week. I am anticipating your promised letter, love, tomorrow, and will then finish this to you. I thought I would not write today, then I would answer both letters together. Only 7 days, darling, and then I shall see you and kiss you. It will be a glorious coming this time, wifey, and no sorrowful parting to look forward to and dread, for I shall bring my darling wife back with me. I feel just as though I could squeeze you to death almost, and never leave off kissing you. I love you so much, my darling. I was thinking today how desolate the house looked, but it will not be when you are in it, my darling. There is just one more thing I should mention before I forget it, and that is, I think you had better get a few boxes of blacking. The same sort they use at our house, as I don't think you'll be able to get any good here. October 4th, 1882. My darling, I was rather disappointed at not receiving a letter from you. I am very busy tonight, or I would have given you more. I remain your loving, true, and faithful husband, Fred. I was a bit confused as to whether the blacking Fred referred to here was for the black leading of cooking stoves or for shoe polish. I'm not certain Fred would be all that interested about the state of the household cooking range, whereas he's definitely going to be concerned about the appearance of his shoes. Searches of vintage tins show that blacking was a common term used for shoe polish. However, the context Fred uses it in is definitely with the assumption that Jane will find the quality of what is available in Middlesbrough wanting. Perhaps the more relevant information here is that the town is still undergoing such rapid development that it is harder to get a wide range of branded goods. Handsworth, October the 4th, 1882. My own darling husband, I will now try to finish answering your letter. I was so sorry, love, to have disappointed you yesterday, but I was so busy and Louisa Laverack was in Handsworth and wanted me to go with her to Darnall in the afternoon, and I had to go see Ginny Reckless as well. I could not make time to write before I went. I thought it would be a long time probably before I saw Louisa again, so you must forgive me once more. I shall soon be with you all together now, my darling. Then we shall be able to do without letter writing. I went to the birthday party on Monday. We had a very enjoyable night. We had the usual singing, love. I did wish you were there. John brought me home. I got home about 10. Last night I came home with Polly Corbett. I have your Louisa and our Fred's Polly to tea this afternoon. I shall have to give you more tomorrow, love, as they are talking all around me and I cannot write very well. It is our harvest Thanksgiving on Sunday week. I wish I could have gone with you to St. Paul's Church and to Mr. Marston's. I don't know, love, whether I told you, but I have not received the cards yet. Do you think, love, after the wedding, it would be too late to go by the 8 train, as it is rather early to go by the 5:15 train? Do you think Mrs. Gordon will mind sitting up till then? I think it would be much more convenient to go straight to Midland Station than get on at Attercliffe. We shall be obliged to have a cab. The furniture, I have arranged to come on the Monday, after we are married, love, from here. John Merrill is going to get a dray to take them from our house, then call at your house and take the things from there, and our John will go with them to the station and set them off. I cannot sleep very well, love, now, for thinking about being with you and bothering about the things I have to do. It will be glorious to be together always, love. The sofa will be right, being left-handed, love. The firm of Lodges will be sorry to lose you, and I expect Mr. Banks will be joining the Army of Martyrs some day. He'll be coming across Mrs. Wright unexpectedly. We will arrange about the lighting the fire, love, next week. You will soon get used to getting up rather earlier. It is post time now, love. I have to keep giving you a little but often, as I do not seem to have much time to write the long one. I love you more than ever, and remain always, my darling husband, your loving, true, and faithful wife, Janie. P.S. Louisa and Polly wish to be very kindly remembered to you. Albert Terrace, Linthorpe Road, Middlesbrough, October the 5th, 1882. My own darling wife, I received your very welcome letter this morning, for which I thank you. I almost thought I was going to be disappointed again, love, as it had not come when I'd left this morning, and I was afraid the postman had gone past, but it was waiting for me at dinner time. I quite excuse you, love, seeing that you had such an old friend there, and it may be, as you say, a long time before you see her again. Still, I hope you don't think you are going to bury yourself here, darling. You speak as though you were going to leave the country altogether. It is not quite as bad as that, love. It is only 100 miles away from home, you know. Besides, your home will be here then, our home, love. My darling, our letters will soon be closed, at least under the present circumstances. I shall only have to write one more, love, and then I have done. I think we must both of us own that they have been a pleasure in writing and also a source of comfort in receiving. Is that not so, wifey? I am glad to hear that you enjoyed yourself, love, at the birthday party on Monday night. I had a letter from home this morning. I suppose Lena was there. Was she at all pleased? How did you get on with her, love? I am just wondering how your Fred's Polly and our Louisa will agree at your house. They're not quite the same nature, love. I wish it was your Harvest Thanksgiving next Sunday, love, instead of Sunday week, and then we should see the decorations. St. Paul's here are very ordinary. Marston thought it was grand, but he never saw any before. With reference to the train to leave by. Of course, it would give us more time to come by the 8, but that would mean 12 o'clock when it got here, and there are no cabs at that time, which would make it awkward if we had any luggage. Besides, I don't know how we shall fill up the time as it is, love. For myself, I should prefer to leave as soon as possible, as I am afraid everybody will not be strictly temperate, and I should not like to witness any scenes. But I am entirely in your hands, and will do whatever you like in the matter. I might be able to arrange for a cab to be there, but I could not guarantee it. You will have seen from my last letter that Mrs. Gordon will not be able to take us in, and the people next door cannot either. I think we might take a couple of rooms in Grange Road. I don't know whether they would care to take us for only a week, and I should not like to stay longer, as I am quite sick of lodgings and want to get settled down as soon as possible, love. Do you think we could get squared up in a week, love? Mr. Marston says if we cannot get apartments, they will be able to put us up, and if it was absolutely necessary, we could come here for one night. I will go and see at Borough Road tomorrow and let you know on Sunday. With respect to the furniture coming, love, I think it had better be sent before we are married, because if it is sent off on the Monday following, it would not get here probably until Wednesday or Thursday, and then I should be working and could not give you much assistance. But I think I could perhaps arrange for someone to be there and unload it, love. You see, if it was sent on the Wednesday, it would get there on the Saturday, and then I could be there. Mr. and Mrs. Phillips are going to Tynemouth on Saturday, and are very much pressed on me to take you as well. I am rather inclined to go, as we shall not go anywhere probably, and we can talk it over when I come over. Redcar play Middlesbrough on that Saturday. I am sorry that you can't sleep, love. Don't let the things bother you, or you'll be knocked up, and that would be awkward if the marriage had to be postponed. I am pleased that the sofa will be all right, love. I have arranged for them to send it tomorrow week. I have also arranged for the chimneys to be swept, love. I thought it would be better to have them done now than have the dirt afterwards. I have also arranged about the window rollers and for the house to be cleaned down. Punch Brothers have also proffered to give me 2.5% discount if I pay in a month or net cash for 3 months, so that we shall not be pressed for money, love. I got a postcard from John Mies this morning. His gloves are 8.5 instead of 7.5. Will that inconvenience you in any way? Shall I have to present the bridesmaids with anything, love? If so, what should you suggest? I shall get a brooch and a pair of earrings for you. Will those be suitable, love? If not, will you please tell me what to get? I shall expect your letter tomorrow, love. Good night, little wife. I love you more than ever. Janie's letter does indeed arrive the next morning. Handsworth, October the 5th, 1882. My own darling husband. I received your nice long letter this morning, for which I thank you, love. Mother has gone to Nottingham for the day with our Polly to see her sister. It is a lovely day. I hope it will be like this next Thursday. Our John is going to stop in and wait this afternoon for me, as I'm going to see Mrs. O'Donnell and Emma Gill, and then after tea I have to go to Sheffield to get some new boots and lots of other little things. I have a lot of running about to do this week. I wish it was all over, love, and I was nicely settled at Middlesbrough with you. I expect there'll be nothing left of me but my shadow by next Thursday, love. I'm afraid you'll have to stand a good deal of gazing at, love. It does not concern the majority of people, but they think it does, so it is all the same. It will soon be over, and then you will have me for better or worse. Oh, darling, the time will soon be here now. Then you will have your loving wife to look after you and see that you have some decent linen to put on. I like the style of the cards, love. They have a rather crushed up appearance, as you say, but they will do very nicely. I will forgive you if you have chosen the papers wrongly. I think they will look nice, love. I am sorry Mrs. Gordon has let her front rooms, love, but it can't be helped, so we must make the best of the other accommodation. I do not mind having to sleep in the back bedroom, love. I want to be near our house, as it is so much more convenient than having to go from place to place. The train at 5:15 will be the best to go by. The other will be too late, especially now we are not going to Mrs. Gordon's. We shall have to start from here soon after 4. I think it would be best not to draw the 2 weeks' money due to you on the 14th. we must try and make the other do. You could draw it on the Monday, perhaps, could you not, darling, if we did fall short? But I think it would be best not, if we can possibly do without it. I will get some of the blacking you spoke about, love. There will be no sorrowful parting to look forward to this time. You must be merciful, love, in your squeezing. Squeeze nicely and come again. I don't want squeezing to death yet. I do love you, my darling. The house will not be desolate next week. Mr. and Mrs. Fred Shepherd will be living in it. Doesn't that sound nice, love? I shall hardly know who they are speaking to when I am addressed as Mrs. Shepherd. You must please excuse me again. I must be getting ready to go to Darnall, or I shall be late again. I remain always, my darling, your loving, true and faithful wife, Janie. And so we return back to Fred's letter. October the 6th, 1882. My darling, I received your welcome letter this morning, for which I thank you. I expect you will have a lot of running about. So have I, love, but I don't seem to get anything done. I am glad you like the style of the cards, love. I think I will not draw the 2 weeks' money as you suggest, especially as we shall not have to pay Punch Brothers at the earliest on the 14th of November, so that we shall have most of the money to work on. I will be merciful in the matter of squeezing, love, as I shall want to come again, as you say. I expect you will scarcely know who they mean when you are addressed as Mrs. Shepherd, but you will soon get used to it. I'm glad you like the title, darling. I have received a wedding present today from Mr. and Mrs. Marston, a bread plate and knife. The knife is a regular beauty with an ivory handle. What is the proper thing to do, love, after receiving these presents? Of course, I told him I was very much obliged to them. But is it necessary to write and thank the donors of presents, love? Mr. Cooper asked me again today when the ceremony was to take place, and says that, if necessary, I can have a longer holiday if I want it. I told him I should like until the Wednesday following, but I think I shall take until the Saturday now, love, but we shall see how we go on. He also said I was to see him before I went. He had something to say to me. I wonder whether he's going to make me a present. You will remember he promised he would when I came up here, love, but I thought he had forgotten it, and of course I did not say anything to him about it. I hope it will be in money, as that will be the most acceptable to us at present, love. Our shorthand clerk's wife was confined yesterday morning. I suppose it was an awful affair. She was in labour 3 days. He seems quite knocked up. I hope we shall not have any trouble of that kind, love, for your sake, my darling wife. You must please answer all this letter if you can on Saturday, love, because you will see that I shall be required to act on it on Monday. Sunday will be my last single Sunday, darling, and then I shall have some pleasurable ones. I remain, my darling wife, your loving, true and faithful husband, Fred. Gosh, it all sounds so frantic now. Things are really speeding up. Fred cracks me up with his reluctance to stick around for his own wedding celebrations. I'm sure he would have been persuaded to lighten up a bit once the ceremony was over. Which we will get to next time. Yes, our next episode is going to be rather bittersweet. It's the wedding one, but it's also the one with the last of the letters. Don't worry, it's not going to be the end of the podcast. We will be carrying on with the story for a little while yet. Thank you so much for listening to my love letter time machine. Would you consider showing the podcast some love by clicking on the ratings, leaving a review, or sharing it with someone you think might enjoy it? You can also find excerpts of Fred and Janie's letters on Instagram at myloveletterTimeMachine, all one word, and you can write to me at myloveletterTimeMachine@gmail.com. Until next time, take care.